good evening, or morning, or afternoon, wherever you are in the world. This is Daryl War, and I keep making these things. I'm not sure why. I think it's just I get chatty, and I know a lot of you get lonesome, or you go, huh, another update, maybe later. And then later comes, and you go, okay, I'm bored. Let's listen to Daryl ramble some more. So I'm starting to figure out, this is really sad, who is all listening, and I'd really, really, really like this to be addressed to you who enjoy it. I know there is that bizarre idea that ranting equals news on some networks, and oh my gosh, how unhealthy. Just people screaming about politics and extremism, and that's another reason I don't bother with it. All that stuff. Now I remember it coming in. I want to say late 90s. It was probably... yeah, you know, it probably was late 90s. My memory is early this century, but it was like... I'm like, oh, you know, all these people screaming. I'm like, this is news. Are you serious? So, yeah, it's just really annoying. On the edge of your seat, the world's about to end. Newscaster, there's a way that they talk, and it's like you've already got my ire up with the way you're talking as a newscaster. I think that they have to like go through like a year of school to figure out that voice, the edge of your seat voice for newscasting. Yeah, I get stressed out enough, so really I don't bother with a lot of the news stuff. Just, what can I do about it? You know. Plus, I find it silly to go into something that is stressful. Due to peer pressure, well, you gotta be on the up and up. No. And the answer is to do that and take some pill or medication to handle the stress of something you don't need. The patterns repeat themselves, okay? So now, what do I have to do? Lordy, the Munsters. I'm getting through it. Watch the show, take notes. Some of the episodes recently have been what could have been on any show. I think the best I got out of All-Star Munster was what school Marilyn is attending. Westbury. I'm starting to seriously identify with Fred Gwynne's distaste for always being typecast as Herman Munster. Herman Munster has a wonderful heart, but he's so stupid. And the scarier thing? I see people online that make him look super intelligent. That is so terrifying. So terrifying. And that leads us to another typecast, that of Jonathan Frid, who also got very tired of always being seen as Barnabas, and I can certainly understand where he was coming from with that. There are times of fun, and there are times you're just plain tired of it and need something different. Then I've encountered a lot of people getting obsessed. They get all lost in Jonathan Frid and Barnabas Collins like they're melting into their own union shadow and can't make head nor tail of him, nor themselves. That's when I can deeply appreciate the gaga fangirls and boys. They're attracted. It's a hot boy on the block thing. And again, we have the playfulness there. The kidnapping element with Maggie kind of excites them in fun ways because they know it's fiction. And it's that same playfulness I see with Bela Lugosi's Dracula and people getting turned on by submission to someone who is darkly attractive. So that's all well and good. The only shortcoming with the Gaga fans is the assumption that I am one of them, and I am not. I just picked up the pattern of who Barnabas was from the show. It melded in with old classics. Jonathan Frid has a very classic movie actor vibe, the same as Louis Edmonds and John Bennett, who'd I'd already seen on Dark Shadows, and the same goes for Carolyn Jones as Morticia on The Addams Family. Of course, Vonda Carlo was also in classic movies, and then she goes into television as Lily Munster. So I pick up on all those vibes, for all of them. With Jonathan Frid as Barnabas, I mean, that's... honestly, when I first saw him, I'm like... But then, you know, it kind of picked up, alright.
And that's the thing, is, you know, I had the advantage of having studied the show prior to watching it and having studied it while watching it and all the back history, and I'm getting all the interviews as I'm going along. You know, on the end of every one of those discs is an interview with the cast or somebody who helped create it. So I'm paying attention to those, too. I was brought up on that stuff. The way that you produce a program, or the way that you film a movie, or the special effects involved. I was brought up on that. When life wasn't crap, we definitely had the creative vibe going on in my household, and also with some of the people we were friends with. It wasn't uncommon to have that. You know, it was just a regular thing. Which is also healthy. You have your suspension of disbelief in the world of fiction, in the world of stage, you know, whether it's on the screen or on the actual stage. So, you know, I'm coming at it with all of that stuff that I'd gathered since I was a little kid. Jonathan Frid just, to me, it's the classic actor, classic thriller movie vibe. And not uncommon with what I grew up with. And on, you know, and I went back to it after I got tired of the new stuff that was too stressful. But still loving the spooky, so that's what I saw. But there are the folks, and they're just kind of like, ah, they're all like this, because, oh, look at Jonathan, how cute he is, oh, look at Barnabas. And I go, well, you know, it's all well and good for you. I'm just not there. But I can appreciate. So please, drool buckets. Just drool bucket. I don't care. You know, just as long as it's positive. And that's why I've made that image on Pinterest and on the Barnabas Maggie page, where Barnabas comes into Maggie's room through those French doors. Why are they French doors? At the Evans Cottage. And he comes through the French doors. And I put a caption, "A Zillion Ladies Fantasy." And of course, people who love this pairing, "Oh yes, oh yes." And I'm like, see, that's the fun of it. We're all not like, the mommy knows best. Oh, well, he just needs to get the right doctor woman or whatever. I'm like, no, we're on a different vibe. So I just cater to that because it's way more fun than having a hissy fit over, well, oh my god, it's so serious, and he needs to da-da-da-da-da, like, bleh, go away, go away, go away, go away. Still, I'm grateful to admit that my foray into Barnabas and Maggie, I should say, is cushioned by already knowing the dark love between Gomez and Morticia. And that helped a great deal for me to digest it when I was going into the undertow of Barnabas and Josette. I was really numb as a person for a long time. And that romance sparks something deeply profound. I just ask a question and kaboom! So to get the characters accurate, I needed other fans of that couple. That's been difficult because too many people simplify the relationship, just like they simplify a ton of things in their lives. And a lot of the simplifying has to do with just breaking down the person who is interested in the pairing, trying to get them to logically see why it quote-unquote doesn't work when love is rarely ever logical. And it's so complex that it's easy to try and break somebody down by simplifying a relationship that is that deep. I mean, you've got a vampire cursed because he didn't love one woman. That woman cursed him to be a vampire, kept him away from his true love, which was Josette. And as we see the formula come through in this particular mythos of the vampire of Dracula, because there's plenty of ways that it's woven through the human consciousness, this one with Barnabas and Josette, he's cursed for loving this woman, for not loving the woman who cursed him, but loving this other woman. And what does she do? She reincarnates to reach him. Because his life has been extended that long. So she continues to, as a ghost, through astral projection at times, to protect him, to reach him, to be with him again. That's very complex. And that's what we're seeing. That's what I saw as obvious. But yeah, I've had a lot of complexities in my life simplified all around me, and that's how I understand the process of breaking down a psyche, of trying to force your perspective on another person. And that's why over and over again, I find the people who were for this fictional relationship very astounding, because we don't want to take over. We just want our people. That's it. And that's what I've been saying from the get-go. Just want my people. And then you got all these hounds of war coming at us. We've all seen them. It's like when I was putting up the troll reviews, Lisa said, "I've seen this before, I've been here before." And that was why I kept exposing them. It wasn't to get attention, it was to break the ice. And it was very profound when Lisa did say that. So the simplification is very often a way of somebody spraying Lysol on your problems, and or trying to justify their perspective onto yours. And what have I always been trying to do? Get your perspective in the positive and look for a niche audience. So there we have it. Simplifying. It's just atrocious, and it's been a big waste of time for all of us in multiple facets of our lives. With people like that of Dark Shadows, it's hard to get to the fans who like the coupling because it is so complex and they are already feeling weird about it and uncertain about it and all alone and all that. Then you get some of these social websites that are anything but social, and that messes up the comprehension process horrifically. But anyway, it's good to have finally found the people who see the reincarnation, see it as part of the program, part of various characters. They aren't into the, what about this idea? What about this idea? Or this idea? Those aren't the fans I was looking for, and I never was. I was looking for people who wanted the reincarnation, and over the years, I still find new readers to Margaret Chauzette de Bray or 200 Years Away, and it lifts their spirits, and some let me know. We're not working with anything goes. We're working with this complicated and intriguing couple. And I deeply want to thank all of you who have come to me and told me about that. I know you felt alone, and I had no idea that was going on. I was just like, what's going on? Nobody's talking. But we know what we know. You know, we know what we see. We have a lot of commonalities. There is a community, and that's beginning with Barnabas and Maggie. And I'd like to find something more cohesive that will allow us to really spend time, talk, be more organized, and enjoy each other's company. And I'm so grateful that Lisa came up with the Facebook group of Barnabas and Maggie, because even I found the coupling so complicated I couldn't even name it. And I'm good at naming things. So even with the dreaded Facebook, the small pockets of good, Barnabas and Maggie is one of them. But I'd like to try and build something more cohesive, whether it's a news group or a forum that takes us away from all the other notifications and all. It just what fragments us about that network. There's got to be another way of finding our own little corner. Hopefully one that doesn't turn out the way the Barnabas Julia people did. I mean, they just got so enmeshed in feeling like they were this minority when, in actuality, they were creating this massive majority that would take anyone. And so I think we can learn quite a bit from that issue as well. Also, I think it's providential to have gotten pulled in by the couple to the point I felt out of control and worked my rear end off to find the people who wanted that. And I was up night after night just looking at any website, Google search, and YouTube videos, and, you know, and just anywhere. Part of a show's at, you know, just search. I was up so many months. And it took a lot. It took a lot of time. Just scraping, trying to find everybody. And many of you have been extremely kind to me and to each other. So yes, I side with you because, plainly put, you're nice. I got a ton of hate for what I'm doing. Not all of it makes sense. But I'd been through that garbage before so many times, I recognized it for what it was. Perhaps someday, if any of you are familiar with the film Lantern Hill, someday I may quote Hepzibah. And now, we can have our cranberry tea in peace. And the other fandoms too, mainly Adam's Family and then the Ghost in Mrs. Muir, both have been very caring and concerned. The Adam's Family seems a bit more, yeehaw, go for it! And the Carolyn Muir types, I feel like they are very her in, okay, everyone, you know the rules, be nice, say something nice, or don't say anything. Or a bit like Captain Greg in keeping things shipshape, or being understanding of tempers with the captain, of course. Some of those. I think some Ghost of Mrs. Muir fans blinked at the pit and were like, well, I see my characters, not sure what the rest is about, but okay. And then a few who knew Dark Shadows, and some of the fans that went with it and thinking, oh dear, we knew this day was coming. I hope it's not going to be too painful. So, that's just my general vibe that I get from those two fandoms. Adam's Family, woohoo, and Ghost of Mrs. Muir, oh dear, well, be nice and brace yourself. Also looking into finding more Clue fans, because I think they would pick up on the pit for the sake of all the mystery, intrigue, wacky dialogue, with all the melding from one line to the next that happens in the radio drama. I mean, you start to quote one line, and then you find yourself quoting another one and another one. And it seems to be the way that the pit sort of goes. It's sort of the same thing that Clue has. And I also think that right now, I think for a long time, what I get, you know, it's been in, again, in pockets and pieces and trying to find everybody who is into that. I think there is a lot of kind of hardcore Clue fans that are like, Wadsworth was Mr. Bot. And we're into that, and Tim Curry plays good evil, so this is great. But now I get the sense of, you know what? What would it be like if you was the good guy? And I figure, hey, you have three endings. Two out of three, he's good. Two out of three. So hopefully that'll entice some of the Clue fans a little bit more. One thing that's been nice, having a couple old friends coming by, is we finally got to play the board game Clue together and tried it with two dice instead of one die. It actually moves a whole lot smoother going from room to room, and I was very excited to have that old grasp of how to go about seeking out the answers. It practices the process of elimination, which is a good practice, and I was actually excited in a good way to make an accusation and come up incorrect. I was just fascinated and curious at how it happened. And then that gave me the job of hanging on to the cards of two players, mine and another one, to show the other two players, because it was four of us. Another player got fed up, but then again, he'd gone through a whole six-pack of beer, so keeping all the components in order wasn't to his liking. Kind of breakdown. I want to do it again. I want to play it again. Kind of go through it. Because, I mean, and we've collected all kinds of mystery games like that over the years, just because Clue made such a big impact. But it's like, oh, we want more of this and more of that. And that's why I'm hoping that the Clue fans come out for the pit, because it's humor mystery, and that is a lot of what Clue is. I'm really hoping for more Clue fans. And yes, I've definitely heard about the quote-unquote killing off of Mrs. White as a game character. But we were out and about over the weekend, and I saw Retro Clue. So that option clears up missing Mrs. White. I'm definitely thinking of getting a copy, just because ours is all dinged up. And also the box, like the new one, for some of these retro games, it's like, it's still a rectangle, but it's a shorter, kind of thicker rectangle, so I'm really curious about what's inside. And like I said, you know, we've got all these games, all this stuff. I mean, I wouldn't know about that, you know, like all the stuff that's going on in the pit. There's, well, with Markers of the Depray, there's Backgammon from Chapter 7, I think it is now. And then with the pit, there's Cribbage, there's Gin Rummy. I'd like to get some more games. I mean, just because classic games are really fascinating. Yeah, I've got to get my Kindles updated, because I know I had, on my old one, that it broke. I had so many books that are just wiped out, and I don't even know what the list was. there was an old Hoyle's or game manual through Gutenberg, and it was like really fascinating to see this public domain version of the game manual, you know, just classic games. It was like really old, and I've gone through some of that just because I have that intrigue for history. So yeah, just all this exciting stuff that I'm trying to like stop myself from talking so much, but there's just so many things to talk about. And yeah, I like the classic gameplay in the pit. You know, we knew cribbage when we watched Dark Shadows, and we didn't know it when we were younger. When there was the jesting suggestion to play cribbage, I was like, oh, you know, I was like, how could you not play? It's Barnabas Collins. He's just suggested cribbage. Woman, how could you not play that? Yes, we've had the fun joke for various telephone conversations. So many people are so upset about Barnabas and Juliet not getting together as a romantic couple, or upset that Barnabas didn't reciprocate Dr. Hoffman's affections. But what was I angry about when it came to Barnabas and Juliet? They didn't play cribbage. And so, yeah, it's kind of a big component in the pit. And I do want more cribbage. You know, like I said, there was that old book of classic games that I need to, like I said, gotta update my Kindles and maybe get it again. So just all these components of variety. That was the thing that with the pit. It's like, well, if they're spending time together in more kickback ways, what could they do? Oh, play card games. Maybe not checkers or whatever, but like the hopscotch stuff. You know, I did look that up for episode 15 with Sarah and David just to make sure, well, how far back does hopscotch go? So then I realized, okay, so she would say, you know, maybe not the version you know, David, but can you show me? And he's excited and says, sure. And all that stuff. There's kids' games, there's adult games, all that stuff. Time together. Sharing time together. And that's a good way to talk about it. It's not just collecting games. It's having the people who enjoy playing them with you. So I'm looking forward to possibly getting a new version of a new old version of Clue. So, I don't know who Dr. Orchid is, and I'm not really that interested right now. And that's one of the problems, I think, when people find me, you know, they want to throw all this thing from their fandom at me. Ugh, especially Dark Shadows, but other fandoms do that too. And it takes them a while to realize that it's too much for me to do that. And that's why I offer the review swapping. Because then we are at least engaged with each other. Nobody's really taken me up on that too much. But it's always there. You know, I like to be engaged as your audience and also with my audience as your entertainer. It's a shared process. It hasn't worked out that way. We all expected it to. That's one of the reasons that I think a lot of people are feeling embarrassed and uncertain about what's been going on with me, because everybody's been passing the buck. Why isn't anyone saying anything? I shared her work. Why isn't anybody else saying anything? And the reason we're confused, that you all are confused, is because that's what humans used to do. We have some memory. This is what humans used to do. And in the earlier onset of the internet, yeah, that was what happened. And that's why everybody's confused and embarrassed and estranged and uncertain, is the buck passing didn't work. And the buck passing used to kind of work. And part of the reason it used to work is the person who did the, hey, check this out, also engaged with the entertainer. So now it's just a matter of sharing, 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 and no discussion is really happening all that much anymore. So that's what we can learn from all of this, is that we need to go back to being involved with what we appreciate, not just share, 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 share constantly. That's just been overbearing. And actually, the church I attend now, in the last couple of years, the sermons have been quite a bit about that phenomenon, where rather than having it be the human progression of sharing and talking, it just becomes sharing. It just becomes pushing. It just becomes buck passing, and that discussion is gone. That's why I hate the light clicks, because that kills a lot of the discussion that used to be there. Because when you didn't have the light click, you either lurked or you had to respond to be engaged, to be part of it. And the light click, upvote, one plus, all that stuff, it makes you feel as though you are involved and you haven't done anything. You just clicked a button. And you weren't involved. You weren't part of what was going on. So, hopefully that helps to hear me say that, because I really feel that that is what has happened. As for the most recent Pit episode, number 16, we've got the invitation to MASH fans, who might like all the other shows in the Pit, or some of them, and Beetlejuice fans, who also might. Now, what I'd like to let you know, the new people, as well as everyone, is that if you are worried about the romantic pairings being quote-unquote out of favor, or having been out of favor since the 1980s or thereabouts, I want to let you know we've already established that there are plenty of fans of those canon romantic pairings. And to us, it's very clear. Overall, it's fiction, and there is little to fear but someone ranting and raving and taking it way too seriously. We already know more people are online than ever before, and that includes people who either aren't going to grasp deep thought or have been fragmented away from long-term study due to the short-term methods that are scattered everywhere online right now. The short attention span clickbaits are addictive, and addiction grabs the attention, so the programming online for that gets used and overused. That's the main combatant here, is trying to go back to the human long-term study. So don't worry about the romantic pairings in this. I mean, they're as canon as I could get them. Like I said, the reincarnation, that's the most complicated one, with Barnabas and Maggie. Tony and Carolyn was really what I was concerned about. Victoria and Peter, that was set. They chose each other, and that was what I saw on the program, so I'll just give them some more longevity and work out the possible Victoria and Elizabeth mother-daughter relationship, if it exists. Go through that. And so, if you're new to the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and that's something that you've seen in the interim for Dark Shadow, don't worry about it. It really isn't anything to worry about. And we've been working with the, me and Lisa and Melissa, we've been working with fans of that pairing, and it's coming to the forefront. So it's a slow growth, but it's been a very rewarding one to come across. And we've also had our in-house bickering here and there. It's just at the natural thing. But it's been more good than bad. It's been way more good than bad. And it makes it worth it. It really does. So I just want to put that out there to everyone and to the new listeners, that if you are able to have your old basics that you grew up with, your old basic understanding, less reliant on being hooked up to the internet constantly, you're doing good. And keep doing it. And friendships have come in the last year for me that are almost solely based on people needing to be involved with something long term so that they feel human again, feel grounded and centered in a studious activity that is fun and engaging, which I think the Pit is. And that's one of the things, you know, Dark Shadows is addictive. Well, I have found the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows to also be addictive, and I think that's another reason why people haven't gotten back to me about episodes, because they want to binge listen, just like they want to binge watch Dark Shadows. They binge listen to The Pit, and then they feel all bad at the end of the day. I mean, I've just got to do some deduction on that. That's why I've given the offering of, you know what, if you can't talk about all the other episodes, that's fine. Talk about the last one. Keep it going. Make your contribution that way. It's a wonderful series. Also, I've encouraged correspondence by postal letter, which has faltered occasionally with some people, because the social media is always a dangling carrot. Just in front of you. Ooh, come back. But overall, the letters I get detail the release of personal anxiety, the therapeutic relief being able to pick up a pen and do something physical, and also the discussion of personal ills when the correspondent feels they have no one to relate their personal troubles to. That's what I'm here for. I'd like to be mainly the entertainer and hearing what made one laugh or think and that kind of thing. But with the letters, it's fine to lend a listening ear to the troubles going on with fans of the pit. That's fine. And yeah, there's no perfection to how you digest the pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. I mean, obviously I don't want haters, but when you want to talk about your experience, you hear it from the get-go in all my intros that that's what I'm looking forward to. And everything I've said prior to this, just were expecting it to happen. It didn't, because we're all just caught up in this weirdness. But yeah, I'm open to, if you like it, I want to know what you like, what made you think, and what you're thinking about, or your visuals for the show. Somebody a month or so ago was talking about visuals she got for episode 1, which I really loved. And that was on paper, so that's why it's not out on the internet right now. But, you know, you matter, so. That's what I'm here for. That's why I've made myself so available. I was doing my own thing in my own hovel before. And this is me as an entertainer, and I'm trying to engage you. You know, otherwise I'd still be doing LibriVox books and trying to get out of my own anhedonia. You know, who knows where I'd be without the bit. And without you. In fact, I keep thinking about Sidney Friedman and his letters to Freud. And consider spending some time with Sidney on the same terms. It's not like I'm really talking to anyone, but to have that focus on writing to a person who I believe understands and might counsel, as Sidney does in his journaling letters on MASH. And I think that's why the posting on social networks brings people in, because they want to talk and to be heard. However, it also shows that deep down, a lot of us understand that doing that online posting seldom works or meets the need to be heard. There is a ton of misinterpretation of what the person posting is saying. So we have that same trouble. You need to be heard. And then you think that you are being heard and realize you were misunderstood instead, which can increase the problem of wanting to be heard. But yeah, there are gobs and gobs of Barnabas Maggie shippers out there. They have a shyness, but they also have a sense of what suffering is and having to become introspective. So if there are folks like I've been seeing in some of the more photocentric areas of the web, you can send me a private message and I can send along a postal address, because like I said, if you don't have a computer or proper keyboard, it's just as well to go back to paper letters. We might as well, you know. You'll have more range with paper, with pen and paper, than you will with that tiny little keyboard that's driving you nuts. And don't think for a minute the computer is on its way out, because businesses, offices, and the internet itself requires computers to run at all. So computers are available. You just have to make some time to decide what your needs are and what you can afford if you want to use one. And I put at some of the office supply stores in my area, and I'm just like, Lisa, do you want me to look for a computer for you? Because I know you want a desktop computer again, and you know, that kind of thing. Because she's got all these various machines, and I'm just like, well, and she wants a desktop. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm looking to try and see if I can find, I mean, and we're all broke, so it's like, but they're there. I see them all the time. Do not get the idea that computers are going out. They are not. And they can't. There's just no way. It's so foolish to even consider that. I mean, you wouldn't have the internet if it wasn't for computers. And it has to continue with computers. And, like I said, businesses and offices require them. Whether it's laptop or desktop, we need them. They have to keep going. You could also check your local libraries to see about practicing on them.
I think what's sadly humorous in all of this is having to see complaints about pressing a phone button to get English. And that's sad because I come across a ton of pen pals searching for help with their English. I've had to admit, even though I'm not looking for pen pals to engage in that purpose, that they might as well be going for that. Because if more people are wanting to learn proficient use of the English language, it might spark an interest in native speakers who have stopped using the language and went all caveman into an image realm instead. It's photo, photo, photo. But I'm angry that people aren't speaking English. Well, you're not speaking English either. You're just sticking your thumb in the air and posting a photo. That's not English. It's not English at all, man. It's like the old saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that is what I tend to inform people with new interest in English. But anyway, I'm available mainly for discussion on the pit and the characters and all of that. But like other entertainers, I have an interest in who you are, what your news is, and a method of getting your updates that isn't social media, but actually being social through chatting and writing. Some of you have gotten a little bit shy on the telephone. Like, I've made this my full-time job, and a lot of time it's overtime, and I'm not getting paid. So, yeah, that's what I'm here for, folks. Or, like I recently asked our friends Jonah and Clover, are we seeing you with the same regularity that we had years ago? And they answered, yes, if that's all right. And I answered, absolutely. It's really important that we maintain these face-to-face interactions, I'm telling them, because it's healthy for us and the social landscape has altered so drastically that keeping to this should work. It'd be good most of the time. We have to find some way to carry forward, even with all the devastation going on right now. We are physical creatures, us human beings. We do love living virtually and pretending we're something else, but the base of us is a physical person, and there are requirements for being physical. We need food and drink. We need shelter, clothing. We need to be heard. We need to vent our frustrations. And we need good company as well as solitude. This is the major point about social media. With social media always turned on, you are not getting solitude, nor are you getting good company in a decent form. For, like the old saying goes about a bore is someone who deprives you of solitude without providing companionship. And this is attributed to several people, but that makes sense too, because it's a good formed piece of reasoning. I'd say much of this social media is a bore, because the overuse of it, or the constant use of it, shows a split of having neither solid companionship nor solitude. That's also another struggle of enjoying these shows. We'd like to watch them, Dark Shadows, Monsters, Addams Family, Ghosts and Mrs. Mirror, etc. We'd like to watch them together, and for the most part, we can't because we're too physically separated from each other. We're striving to try, but then all of this excess commentary blows in because essentially there are so many lonely people who want attention and companionship and just lash out at screen characters if they can't lash out at who has actually caused them harm. It's a little like wanting to enter a theater to view your favorite movie, and you can't hear it because everyone is shouting inane things at the screen. It's not like hanging out at your friend's house and just enjoying a program with them, having a little chat during commercial breaks, or even dinner and a movie-style discussion. The audience is too broad and too fragmented to have what we had before. So if anyone listening to this has friends and company to enjoy a favorite old show with, I hope you feel grateful for that. And hopefully you're not just attempting to watch the program while the rest of the room flitters on their phones. I've been extremely grateful to watch all of these shows with my husband.
And some of the jokes do come from him heckling a little something. When Endora and Pitt put a spell on Captain Greg, and I did the shout of blast you woman in the demo, he responded, not quite a feminist. And I laughed. And then I added Captain Greg saying that of himself in the very next Pitt episode, number 12. It's those little things that help us along. Companionship. Not each man is an island. And from the coupling's smooches, you can tell that we have been given a gift in all of this. So happy in our own relationship to what all of this has done. That recording it for the show has happened. For Tony and Carolyn, for Barnabas and Maggie, and for Julia and Elliot. It's them. And it's us. I have never felt insecure about Margaret Josette Dupré. I wanted discussion. That was one thing. It's definitely the silence just aggravated me because I knew that it was wrong. I knew that people wanted what was there. Insecurity of the creation. That's never happened. Just, I wanted help. But the coupling itself, I've never been insecure about that. It was what I saw on the show. So, I've never felt insecure about the work itself. I've gotten trolls, and it has been annoying. But I truly received more intelligent insults decades ago. And I knew the stupidity and irony of someone blazing anger at entertainment tends to mean there is more going on with them than with the fictional work. For me, this has all been a wonderful gift, because I felt compelled to give these characters a life I wasn't seeing on the screen. And all I am looking for is further companionship and discussion for this journey. So, write to me when you can. And as the lovely Laura Parker says when someone is about to read her work, let me know what you liked. Take care.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Darrow War production.